Okay, I will start just speaking English, and I just want to welcome everybody who wants to listen and also to watch now the next days to the ministry and the calling of Wietse and Achit Weikema. Is that correct?
Weikema, yes.
And we are so happy to have prophets in our midst, and we want to welcome you, and I want to pray that whatever you have, you could share, and I want to pray for us that we can really receive it. I believe that God wants to impart something into our team, but also to others outside, because we are really like a prophetic nest where they should lay some eggs inside of our midst, and we will just develop it and warm it so that then everything will be birthed, what God wants to birth. And I also want to pray that God opens up the ears for English, so that you understand everything, and then we be released in that. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you so much that you just sent people to us, to Germany, to help us in this country, in this nation. And I thank you for this precious couple. And we welcome you. We say that all the doors and the windows shall be opened to what you have and how you have access to heavenly rooms. We want to be in a childlike mood and listen with the ears of the Spirit. And so we ask you, Holy Spirit, that you enlighten our understanding, and that everything what they say will be printed and written on our spiritual hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. The first time when I met this man, Wietse, it was in Leipzig in Germany, and it was a rabbinic Christian conference where we wanted to bring the churches, the European and the Arabic churches together. And suddenly, out of nowhere, he came to the front, and but he started to sing, and immediately the whole atmosphere changed. In the room, and authority and a prophetic sound and authority was released, and really I was immediately in heavenly places. So that's the power why the prophets are sometimes really bringing the musicians, so that then things are opening up. So it's really a gift also to the body of Christ. And it touched really my heart. And then Wietse and Achit, they met also Jackie and Angela Kretli in Poland. And then they were in the Destiny Tour. So we felt there's really a connection. And we wanted to get to know them. And for me, it's a really big privilege. Because if God sends people to us, then it's also good to know them, their story, their history, how God introduced themselves towards them, and how the prophetic opened up towards them. And these days, we believe also for Germany and for Europe that the prophetic movement will start and even be, have an upgrade. We need each other. We need international people of God. God will send us as Germans outside, but he will send us also people to help to bring an upgrade in the prophetic movement. So this week, actually, for me, is an impartation from God, but also from the body of Christ, from the Netherlands now, that they are here. And I'm so eager to hear you. I'm so eager to get to know you even deeper. We had such a wonderful time this morning, and it was immediately very one, and we could move in heavenly places, and God spoke so much prophetically. So I asked you to open up your hearts, and also who you listen maybe to that even through the testimony, that's for me very key also to release the prophetic. Our testimony are a weapon. We release something into our lives. And whatever you say, Wietse or Achit, I really want to invite that. You're allowed to plan things, to speak things forth, and declare things in places. And so be blessed and have much fun with us.
Yeah, so where to start, huh? So my name is Wietse. That's my lovely wife, Achit. Yeah. In 1 year, we will be married for 30 years. Yay. So So now you can guess how old we are. So 30 years next year. I have two sons, or we have two sons, Peter and John. Johan is still in the house. He's 27. He got a new job yesterday, so that was a very good start of our trip to Germany. Yeah. Peter, my oldest, Peter, he is living in Ross Trevor in Northern Ireland. He is married with Erin, and they gave us four grandchildren. Yeah. So now you're thinking, how old is this dude? Okay. Okay, I was 46 when I became a grandfather. So very young. Okay, so I was very young father on 23rd, and Peter was 23 when he became a father. The oldest one is Sefer. He is going to be 6 this year. Riviera, she's going to be 5 this year. We have Bjorn, he's going to be 3. And then Primrose, she's going to be 1 in April. Primrose, yes, they're sweet. I should have brought some pictures. Yeah, it's like, you know, we love them to bits. So they live in Northern Ireland. So with that, we adopted Ireland. We adopted the land, the island of Ireland, Northern Ireland and Ireland. Yeah, where to start? I came to the Lord 1987, 10 o'clock in the evening on New Year's Eve. Yeah, yeah. I kneeled down in the kitchen, and I said, God, if you're real, then I give my life to you. And Jesus walked into the room. But I came to the Lord through a song. Show us, toon ons uw macht, o God. So I played the song, and while I was playing the song, I didn't know what I was playing. But I remembered it was in C, and I started sweating all over, as you do when the Lord manifests for the first time. Because I didn't see him, but I could feel him all over in the place. So Jesus was filling the place, and he walked into the kitchen, and that was my encounter with God. And I think my life changed forever. And yeah, so my walk with God. So very early on, I was introduced to prayer by one of my spiritual fathers, Jon Abma. He was a prayer warrior in the Dutch Reformed Church. But he was very solid in the Word. And he was very in love with Jesus. And he always talked about his prayer trips to Philippines and other things. And I developed a very deep love from very early on for prayer. And so then I started to read all the books about revival, about the revival in Wales. And so I was hardly a believer, but I was so on fire. I that's what I wanted. And so I lived in a very little village in Friesland, and I came home, and I remember I told my mom, I said, Mom, I fell in love with Jesus. I became a believer in Jesus. I know Jesus. Jesus is alive, Mom. And my mom says, Vitsa, you're gonna be a pastor? A domine? Yeah, in church? I said, no. Just fell in love with Jesus. I know Jesus. I love Jesus. You know, I was full of that, but I had no, you know, in my church surrounding, there was nobody who understood me. So my pfarrer, the guy, did not really believe that Jesus rose from the dead. Yeah, so I had a problem with that because I just met the guy. Yeah. You know, I was like, he's alive, man. I mean, how can you not believe? You know, and then that was a very confusing time, of course. I got to know Ageet at the Bron, and there came our calling to prepare the way of the Lord. And we got married, we got pregnant. In those days, there was not much discipling, so we had to figure out ourselves with a lot of consequences, of course. So then Peter was born, and we got married. We lived in Snits, Snake, in Dutch, not Snake, but Snits. It's in an area where there are a lot of lakes. It's a lake district in Friesland. And we had those little encounters. I mean, I remember one Sunday morning, we were just listening to some teaching. And then we invited the Holy Spirit. And I remember we were sitting on the couch. And then suddenly, like, we were, like, raptured. And, like, 2 hours later, we were like, what just happened? Because we saw a dove just come down and just rest on us. And we were like, you know, so the precious Holy Spirit, he came. He introduced himself in a very, very deep and a very profound way. And a lot of things happened. My father died in an accident, car accident. And so we had to move from a snake to Vommels, where my mom lived, and we started to pray there as well. And but very early on, we had these times of worship. And, you know, with prophetic people, you know, they think, they say, and then they do, you know, and then, you know, but they don't tell their wife, you know, and then you get in trouble. So I said, you know, I think I need to buy a mandolin because God is speaking about the high sounds. And I had no clue what I was talking about. But, you know, I bought a mandolin, 90 guilders or something. And so then we started to worship. And the sounds were high because it's a high instrument, right? High sounds, right? And then, you know, we were like, okay, let's tape this. And because we wanted to record it. And then the power of God just came into the room and the batteries exploded. And I was like, that's confusing. And the Holy Spirit whispered in my ear. But there is a power in the high praises. You cannot contain, the batteries cannot contain that power. And I was like, the high praises, wow. And so, and then we heard the Lord speak to us, you know, just a few people in a tiny little place, where is 24-hour prayer and worship in the Netherlands? I don't know, never heard of it. And so then we wanted to know more about worship. And the Lord said, well, psalmody, okay. So we looked it up and came from South Africa. And so we introduced a psalmody course. So we started a worship school. I mean, we knew nothing. You know, we knew ding, 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 ding. But we knew how to worship God, you know. Yeah, I mean, I only knew one D chord, you know, on the instrument. Anyway, but the thing what happened was we would start worship, and there was a grace of God, and we would disappear for hours, just be gone. These walls were not there anymore. The ceiling was gone, and we were in a room, and we were like, where are we? It was almost like, hello, hello, hello. You know, the echo. That we were in a spacious place. It was huge, and we knew it was not on earth. But I could see that I was on earth. So we had to figure out, like, what is going on? So we first went to the course of psalmody ourselves with all the Hebrew words of yada, toda, you know, tehillah, high praises, you know. And, you know, and then you dive in the word. And I remember for the school, I was preparing. And I told you guys this morning, as I was preparing, I was reading Revelations 4, 5. And I was like, oh, wow, this is amazing. And suddenly, I sat on my bed and suddenly I was in heaven and I saw the scenery. That changes your view about stuff in the Bible, you know. It's not words anymore. It's like a movie, you know. It's like, whoa, why, you know, awesome. The next Sunday, or the Saturday, as I was teaching about the subject, suddenly people, they were like a little bit confused. Confusion hit the place, just imagine. And why was it? Because most of them were Dutch Reformed. Okay, they came out of churches. And they would come to me and say, Vitsa, I don't know, man, but while you were speaking, you know, there was this stirring in my inside. It was like a fountain, like bubbling up. I said, well, I think you got filled with the Holy Spirit. So people were, while we were teaching, being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Yeah, we hardly knew anything of it, but it started to happen. So sometimes God does something in very small, humble places. And I remember in 1993, the Spirit of God hit me at one point so hard, my feet were, I can't do it anymore, my back. Maybe that's where it comes from. But I was, one lady, she was having her birthday, and it was 12 o'clock, and I said, well, let's bless you. So we bless you. And I said, in the name of Jesus. And while I said Jesus, the Spirit of God hit me like lightning, and I was on the floor for 2 hours. Yeah, next morning I had to go to work, and I felt like a grandfather, like 99 years old, because all the muscles I had not used in years, I mean, I made moves I couldn't do, you know. But anyway, I did. So, long story short, I became involved with the deliverance ministry and stuff. We started to do a man weekend. And in those days, it was around 99, between 99 and 2003. We knew about IHOP, you know. I listened to the tapes of Misty. Jason Upton in those days came up. And we would just, you know, put them on replay, do it again, and again, and again. And we had these men weekend, and it was organized. It was started up in Mississippi. And it was organized by ex-Marines. Can you imagine? But, you know, and I remember I went there and I spent half the weekend under the table weeping in the presence of Jesus. Yeah. And after the weekend, I remember I was worshiping Jesus. And Jesus walked into the room. And he stood in front of me. And he looked at me and he just touched my forehead. And it was like, I don't know, it was just deep peace. And he said, Vita, I'm your brother. And follow me and I will introduce you to the Father. So, and I'm still on that journey, like getting to know the Father and Jesus, my friend, my brother, my Savior, my King, my Lord, my lover. But he's teaching us. And it's a highs and it's lows. But I remember we were very hungry. So in the weekends there was this secret room. Nobody entered in there, but stuff was happening in that room. But you know what it was? It was the prayer room. You guys have a prayer room here. It's awesome. Yeah. But you know, the weekend was called, it was Destiny Weekend. It was 40 hours with Jesus. And we would spend 40 hours in the prayer room. So it would start with, you know, putting up, because we would rent a place like this. And then over here, we would make the prayer room with, you know, cloths and the cross and stuff like that. And we always would think about a theme. And I remember the first time we did it, we were like, the power of God just hit us. We were hardly able to prepare the room because the presence was so strong. And we would just be praying for 1 hour, then 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, 5 hours, 6 hours, 7 hours, 8 hours, 9 hours, 10 hours, have a little food, and then just kuria shandarabasundorabosheki karababa, you know. It would be just awesome. Presence of God. But, you know, for us, we get used to the presence. You know, you're just bubbling in the presence of God, you know. But then somebody else would try to open the door, but the fear of God would hit him. So what we would, experience was the manifest presence of God. And the fear of God would come and hit the place. And so we would have people who would try to enter in the prayer room, but they would just collapse under the power of God. They could not stand in the room. That was an amazing time. Yes, yes. And it was so powerful. It was so powerful. I remember one night, in the middle of the night, the Holy Spirit said to me, Vitsa, do you know that you are the bride of Jesus? And I was like, no, but, you know, I'm not a woman. I don't know, you know. And then I had to find out, you know, being a bride is not male or female, you know. I mean, we're all sons of God, yeah. But, I mean, in the middle of the night, you know, the Holy Spirit would whisper something in your ear. And then, Vitsa, you're the bride. And, you know, and then open up that whole realm, you know. And it was like, and then we would listen to teachings, of course, you know, from IHOP, and then, okay. And I remember that the Holy Spirit would come, and the spirit of prayer would just hit the place. And it was like a freight train, like for 20 minutes, it would come, you know. And just imagine, you were with three or four intercessors, but that heavy intercession would hit us. And then it was like, bub, 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 bub. We could hear the sound in the spirit. Bub, 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 bub. Something happened right now. And there was a knock on the door. Oh, you can't believe this, man. Like 20, 30 people just gave suddenly their lives to Jesus. And we were like, yeah, duh. You know, we saw it happen. And then there was a change because the women saw the husbands come home. You know, some of the guys would go there with divorce papers in the pocket. Yeah. But they would come home like a different man because they had encountered the risen Lord. And the women became jealous. And so they wanted to have their women weakened as well. And then the Lord spoke to us. Are you guys willing to serve the women also in prayer? And so we had a bunch of guys. The women didn't know. Just, you know, we had tables, 50 women. It was a very intimate setting. And the men were doing the beds, the toilets, cleaning everything. The women did not know. Yes, when the weekend was over. And then you could carry the ladies out because, you know, some of them had very deep issues with men. And they were instantly delivered and healed because of that. And so Achate led the lady prayer room at one point. But God spoke to us, are you willing to cover that in prayer? Just like eagles. Just to hover and just, I mean, the times of prayer for the men's weekend were powerful. But I can tell you, when we prayed for the ladies, it was like, it was like an atomic bomb. It was like totally, totally different. It was the zeal of God was on those prayer times. And it really, honestly, it transformed our lives. So then we were like, I'm so fed up just coming from a weekend and then live a mundane life through the week. So how can we just invite that into our normal life? And God said, well, if you make space for me like you do in the weekend, I'll come. And then we struggled with that, right? But we lost it, yes. And then we just prepared the attic. And we said, Lord, we make this attic. First, it was like a very small room with a curtain. But everybody who went into that curtain was zapped. And so it was like something happened, you know? It's like, you know, you step behind the curtain. And it was, you know, it was the presence of God was so strong. And so we were like, wow. In those days, I worked as a concierge. I don't know the real English name. I worked maintainer at the school. I prepared lunch like you do here, but for students, a Christian school. And there were about 100 students. And they would come and ask questions. And they would ask me, Vitsa, so tell me about you have a prayer room? Yeah. So what happens? And I would tell stories. And while I would tell stories, the Holy Spirit would show up, and they would be so on fire. So then at one point, they said, can we have a prayer room here at school? I said, well, you know, I'm not the boss. You go to the director. And so she said, yes. And the rest is history. She said, yes. And I think I have to explain. What happened was, that was the biggest attraction in the school. So, you know, they had Colossians 3, verse 1, you know. Seek the things above, not the things on the earth. Seek the things above. And so they had it on, like a big banner, seek the things above. And so we had all these guys who had this in their inside, preached every Sunday. Suddenly the fire of the Holy Spirit hit them. And the spirit of intercession would come and hit the place. And the whole ceiling would go like this. And the power of God just hit the place. But the leadership of the school did not know how to handle it. So they were like, okay, now who's responsible for all this stuff? So they followed the fire, and the fire went, oh, the kitchen. So I think I was to blame. And should I feel guilty about that? I don't know. Because a lot of them who were filled with the Holy Spirit at that time, I remember Arjan, you know, he would sit he would start pray, and he would pray like this. For hours. But now, I mean, that was 2007. We are now 2019. He's working at a bank. He has a very high position. But when he starts praying, the spirit of prayer hits him. And he can only pray like this. That really shapes your life. It's not for a season. It's not for 1 year. It became a lifestyle. And so at that time, we started Daniel Prayer Network. I remember, Pizza, so we want to visit your prayer room. And I said, well, you can, but then I won't be there because we're going to have a conflict situation. They understood. Then your wife. Yes, okay, my wife. So I told my wife, Achet, tonight we're going to have a bunch of ladies from my school, and they want to visit our prayer room. And I blurbed out, you're going to have a word for them all. And so, of course, as you do, yeah? Just imagine, like 15 girls, yeah? They don't know nothing about the prophetic. No, exactly. And so we had a friend of us, she's now with the Holy Spirit Bay. She's one of the worship leaders there, but she was behind the piano, and I said, bye, Gate, you know, all the girls in a gate. But somehow, God was so good. She had a word for everybody. Huh? As you prayed over the girls, and everybody was weeping, and the presence of Jesus was so tangible. Next day, they came to school and said, Vitsa, what did you tell your wife? You told every detail about us, didn't you? I said, no. You say, no. So you mean your wife did not know? No. Wow. So they were very deeply, very deeply impacted. So out of that, in 2007, 2008, we are now, I decided to, we had a scripture. And that scripture told us, you go in full-time ministry of intercession. And so the scripture was in Genesis, on the mountain of sacrifice, I will supply. And on the mountain of sacrifice. Now it becomes more real because we sacrificed a lot. But God supplied. God has been our supplier all those years. In 2007, I became a full-time intercessor. We had no finances, nothing whatsoever. Achet had a little job. And in that season, I was also really aware, like, okay, art. I want to do something with art. So, okay, intercession, worship, and art. That's what I'm going to do. So, Vitsa, did you go to art class? No. Did you study art? No, I didn't. It just came naturally. Like, Vitsa, you write songs, yes. Did you go to school for that? No. Vitsa, you play a little bit piano. Did you go to school for that? No, I didn't, no. So it's like, but God really challenged us to go, just go for it. And I remember just the first few 2 months in my prayer room, just walking back and forth, and nothing happened. Nothing. And it was suddenly after 2 months that God opened up everything. I mean, within a few weeks, we were in, I was in Singapore and doing intercession for World Vision. And God opened all kinds of doors for us. And it was just an incredible time. And one of the things that happened was there was a ex-general and his wife. They were missionaries in Uzbekistan. And, they heard about the prayer room, and they wanted to visit it. And this guy was very... He was very punctual, so he would have his list with questions. Okay, so he came with a list into the prayer room. And I remember he sat down, and the spirit of prayer and just prophetic just hit us. And the students who were, of course, when they were finished at school, they were like, yeah, we come to the prayer room as well. So there was this prayer movement, but it was very, it was moving. I mean, people came from all over the Netherlands on the Monday evenings, especially to our prayer room. So something would happen in our prayer room, and then God would just send us out. So the power of God would come, the prophetic would come. I'll give you one example. I was singing about the father of the fatherless, and he's a defender of children, of widows and children. I was singing it. Do you know him? And as I was singing, suddenly I was caught up in the heavens, and I was taken by the Holy Spirit to Africa. And I was like, what am I doing here? But I saw this huge dragon with several heads, and I knew instantly it was the queen of the Nile. Yeah, so that's a big dude. It controls like pretty much Africa. And as I was there, I was walking and I saw huts, I saw a place, and suddenly I saw myself prophesying to this dragon and cut off one of the heads. Now normally I would never do that, but it was in the spirit. It was supernatural. You know, it was not. You know, I don't go. You know, let's kill the dragon. You know, I'm not like that. You know, I'm cautious. But anyway, I mean, so what happened was I had a prophetic word, and I wrote it down, and I sent it to a friend of us, Ingrid, who had a fatherhood retreat center at the Nile, and at Muyoni at Jinja, Uganda. And then the Archbishop of Uganda said, hey, how possible? How is it possible that this Mzungu, that's white man, yeah? How does this Mzungu know details about my country? We don't even know. I have to speak to this man. So let him fly to Africa. I want to see him. And so we had this council meeting with these guys. But it was a prophetic song. It was a song that happened. It was about the father who's a defender of widows and orphans. And guess what? What happens is that the people who work at Mateo Mioni, they work with child soldiers, ex-child soldiers. They've seen the most horrible things in their lives. And so it's a place of healing. It's a place of the father. So the father said, do you know me as this? And so, honestly, no, I didn't. But, you know, little by little, I got to know him when I came to Mateo Mioni and saw the Lord move very powerful among the people in Uganda. Going back to the general and his list, the spirit of prayer and the prophetic hit us. And within 5 minutes, he got answers for a list of 25 questions. Yeah. And then we started to have visions and impressions about a road. And there were was like pyramids, but cut in half with flames on top of it. But it was a road, in the middle of Asia somewhere, and we had no clue. We never heard of the word like Uzbekistan, you know. I knew about the stones, but Uzbekistan and how the flag looked in Kazakhstan and all those places, we didn't know. So within, I think, 2 to 4 months, praying for Uzbekistan, because what we saw that the Lord loves Uzbekistan. And we started to prophesy over a place we'd never been. So as we prophesied and declared, within 4 months, we were with a team of 9 of us. We went to Uzbekistan to bring the kingdom and prayed for the land. And we met a lot of beautiful people, especially women, because most men, they are not really open. But the women would secretly come to the Lord and face severe persecution. And oh my goodness, we've been there for several years until the land closed in 2010. Yeah, amazing. So before we knew, we were praying for nations, and now we call it the Isaiah 62 Highway. I don't know if it's true, but we had to give it a name. Like the Isaiah 19 highway. And some of you guys are familiar with it. It's this highway between Egypt, Israel, and Assyria. You know, Where all the troubles are, that's the highway. And so when we started to travel in Uzbekistan, we started to understand, oh my goodness, but this is the Silk Road. Oh, wow. And so at one point we had the understanding that we had to go to the beginning of the Silk Road. Yeah, where was it again? In Xi'an. So Xi'an is the Silk Road. It starts in a gate, the Arrow Gate. And then that's the beginning of the Silk Road and goes all the way, you know, Turkey, you know, through Damascus and Jerusalem. And so for some reason, we started to walk over the Silk Road and meet all these different people. At one point, I was looking at this structure and I asked the guide who was with us, I said, what's that? He said, well, that's from Alexander the Great. It's a signpost. It's like a cut-off pyramid. And on top of the pyramid, they would burn fire to signify, to signal with between Greece and India. Can you imagine? And so I was like, whoa! You know, so we knew that God was talking about not a pyramid with fire, but about houses of prayer. Little pockets, little hubs of prayer in these, along the Silk Road. And so I think it became very, it was very organic because many people ask us, so how did you start your ministry? I don't know. I mean, we just lived our life and things changed and God opened doors and suddenly we understood we were traveling. And I remember we were in Brussels. You know, I prayed for many years, Lord, I want to have a band. I want to be part of a band. And I met these beautiful musicians, Julie and Nigel. And Nigel, he is a whistleblower. And Julie, she plays the violin. And so when we came together, we started to sing some songs that I wrote. And they put their texture on it. And there was a sound. And the sound was like, we were like, whoa, what is this? And so we really felt like God was talking about a company. And in those years, I mean, God opened up the door to Ireland for our son. That's a story in itself. But he came to live there, and, you know, we adopted Ireland as part of our inheritance. But also the sound. I always had something with the Celtic kind of sound. But, you know, you can play the piano whatever you want, but, you know, to make it sound Celtic, you know, you can mess around with chords. But when Nigel and Julie, and later they got married, by the way, but so they became a team. So we became a team, and like a prophetic, apostolic kind of a team, but then through sounds. So God can bring that team into a certain place. We release the sound, and we can shake something nationwide. How do we know? We just believe it. We believe it. I believe that when I play the piano, this sound, this frequency, is heard over all of Germany. It's not heard here only. I know my voice carries far further than just what the microphone does or the technique. That frequency goes way out there. Yeah, and it shakes. It shakes even the earth. So the earth responds. That's what I believe. It's like a lion that roars into the soil. Roar! That sound, it shifts everything. It shifts, and the land responds. I know, and I have the right to do that because I'm quarter German. My granny was Deutsch, yeah? And so I have the right to come here and to release that sound of the lion, that sound of the warrior. Yeah, come on. So we started to, you know, one of my dreams, like, I want my music to go where I cannot go. So the Lord spoke about an album. So I made an album. So for those of you who want to listen to that, probably you have heard it. If not, then we brought some with us. But in a weekend, the worship company was birthed. But we really believe that the worship company is a team that travels along with us. That's the same thing what we do when we are on our own, but with a different sound. You carry something as a corporate team. Like, as you start worshiping this afternoon, you carry a corporate sound that is beautiful. That is the beauty of the Lord. Jesus reveals himself through that sound and it to the heavenly places. You know, it says we are in unity and we carry this sound and it's beautiful. Yeah. So, what shall I tell more? And then we had the worship company. Yeah. So ever since we've been in Poland and in different places in Jerusalem, just to release that sound, and it's very powerful to be able to do that. And so the worship company, that's one of it. What do you want me to tell more about myself? This is still the introduction, right? Who we are. Yeah, we, like I said, we had this and this, the high and the lows. And 2011, I came to a very deep place. I almost committed suicide. How do you do that? I mean, you're a full-time intercessor. You love the Lord, but somehow through witchcraft and assignments against us, anybody know spiritual warfare to the point that you want to die? Yeah, well, I came to that point. And how do you end up in places where you don't want to end up? I don't know. It's like you just lose sight. Mind control, witchcraft, the whole thing. I came to the end of my life. And I remember that in that time, we went to a period of 40-day fasting and prayer. My older son, Peter, he was into graffiti, and he lived at night. He was using drugs and drinking a lot. And my younger son was also not in a good place. And there was a Satanist who said she was not a Satanist, but she was still functioning 100% in the same thing. Just take us out. It's a horror story. But honestly, by the grace of God, we came through it. We almost lost our marriage, but not, because covenant is strong. Yeah, and Jesus was there. So we went to 40-day fasting. In the morning, in the afternoon, and in the evening, we prayed and we fasted and we repented of everything that we could think of. And I really believe that through this fasting and prayer, God brought us in a totally different perspective. So one of the things that happened to us, and maybe, okay, you can share that story later on about how you went through the cross and what it did to you and how it changed your life. But I came to the point that I had to die to myself or die. You understand? I mean, I had two options. I have to die to self, or I can't live anymore. I cannot live the way I lived because of condemnation, because of self, whatever. I was fed up with life. I was fed up with myself. But, you know, having seen all those beautiful things, you know, and for me, like the shame was unbearable. The shame was unbearable because Jesus is beautiful. He was beautiful then. And he was beautiful when I in my deepest need. Do you understand what I mean? But to come to that point, like, Lord, I cannot go on anymore. I need an encounter with you. And I need, we can talk about dying to self, but I really need to die today. Just to come to that conclusion. It's a horrible feeling, I can tell you. It was the worst moment in my life, and it was the best moment in my life. Because the Witze that for that time died. And I'm still, in parts of my life, are dying. We also take up your cross every day and you follow Jesus. And so that reality of picking up your cross and following Jesus wherever he goes. And just to start all over again like a newborn baby. Like, you know, Jesus looks at you like nothing happened. It's like just Vitsa, you're pure. You know, and yeah, you are lovely, and I love you. And from that moment, you know, again, just going deeper with Jesus. And it was like all over again with Jesus and the Father and the Holy Spirit, just going deeper and deeper and deeper, and how he would reveal himself. But one of the things that I learned, because I was an intercessor, or I am an intercessor, you know, praying through, you know. But somehow, you know, I would be like praying, praying through, fighting. You know, I could fight. I could still fight. But my perspective was different. Okay? That is one perspective, that is you go into the kingdom of God, yeah, and you go behind the veil, and you go into heaven, and you're in Jesus, and then you're praying. And then the spirit of prayer until something is birthed. The other was, I was praying and praying until I felt something like a breakthrough. And I was tired. But you know, but the demonic and all this stuff, and the warfare with witches and warlocks and, oh my God, you know, principalities and powers, you know. I was like fed up with these guys, you know. How can I live a life, yeah? How can God send me to the darkest places when they're just constantly bullying me? Who am I? And who are you? And who are they that they mock the living God? But they just hit the living light out on me constantly. I would do something, and then backlash after backlash after backlash. And I was like, I'm fed up with this, and there needs to be another way. And so what we found in this place of intimacy, that God was, well, just, don't you think it's time to step behind the veil? Because we had these very powerful encounters. But, you know, like Noah says, well, you know, Noah is 15 years old. He's an adopted kid. He's 15 years old, and somehow God gave him to me, you know, just, he teaches me, but, you know, I have to teach him the prophetic, and it's hilarious, because actually he's teaching me the prophetic, you know. He says, you know, Vitor, the Holy Spirit is teaching me to stay behind the veil 24/7. Wow. And, you know, these two cherubs behind me? Yes, I don't see a thing, but, you know, yeah, you know, they said, you know, I spoke to one of them, and he said, Noah, you're supposed to be here all the time. Don't leave it. You know, you can go back to earth, but don't leave heaven. Stay in heaven. And, I mean, that totally shifts your perspective about spiritual warfare. Can I tell you a secret? There's no warfare in heaven. There's no warfare before the throne of God. There might be a storm. There's no warfare before the throne of God. Hello. There's a lot of joy before the throne of God. There is glory. There is his presence. And there is his awesome beauty. But there's no warfare. What we could consider warfare is like, it's different. And I might come to that on Thursday. I might tell us a little bit about that. But we're supposed to be in heavenly places. And so what I learned through the 40-day fasting and just spending time in the prayer room is that whatever I do, I can stay in heaven. I want to learn to live behind the veil. And so most of us, there's, you know, I'm praying that the veil will lift, you know. Well, you can just pray till the cows come home. Jesus says, come here. And so what we learned was, like, when I worship, I want to worship in heaven. I don't want to worship myself to heaven. I worship in heaven. Yeah? Because, honestly, you know, the Bible says something very dramatically radically. It says, you are seated in Christ Jesus in heavenly places. Now, in my mind, okay, because of my warfare mentality, yeah, I did a lot of warfare. Why was that? Because I was in the occult a little bit, but a little bit too much. So it was like something opened up where it shouldn't. So I would see stuff that you don't want to see. So I saw darkness all the time. So when you see iniquity, when you see darkness and you gaze at it, what it does, it multiplies. Yeah? So I remember we were in Amsterdam with YWAM, and there was another intercession group there, and we brought some of our intercessors at the time. And we were praying for the red light district. And that really gave me an insight how people think. So we had a group like this, and we were worshiping and singing and interceding for the red light district at that point. And at one moment I said, okay, now I want to ask everybody, what did you see? And so that was the group that was from Amersfoort, and this was the group from Amsterdam who were used to the red light district. Just get this in mind, okay? So what did you see? Oh, man, the darkness. Oh, the devil this and the devil that. Okay, yeah, Well, it's okay, that's okay. What did you see? Yeah, well, you know, oh, man, this demon and daddy, yeah. Well, you know, I saw this principality, you know, and da-da-da-da-da-da, and I was like, you know, okay, you know. So, I thought, well, one more. What did you see? Yeah. Oh, the atmosphere is so heavy, you know. Oh, all right. Then I went to the group, the young kids, yeah, who had spent time in the prayer room for a few months. What did you see? Oh, man, as we were worshiping, you know, I saw Jesus. And I saw his face shining. And I saw the fire in his eyes. And I, wait a minute, that's a different atmosphere. Wait a minute, let's go back here. Well, you know, I saw the devil. And I saw the, you know. And I, wait a minute, let's shift here, you know. I saw Jesus. And then the next one. Yeah, I felt the glory and, you know, the tangible anointing. And, you know, and they would weep, you know. And then the next one, and the next one. And it was light. And dark. And I learned something. Wait a minute. So you can be in the same place, but you can have a different mindset and a different focus. And live in a different place. That is interesting, isn't it? And that really taught me a lesson that afternoon. I was like, I don't want to live in that place. So sometimes what happens is I will come into a place where something will really try to lure me into giving my attention. So, for instance, when I enter the land of Germany, I don't start to rebuke whatever is in the land. I mean, we greet the angels. We greet the angel of Germany. Hello, angel of Germany. We are here in the name of Jesus. Here's our papers. We bless you, angel of Germany. So that's what we do. We come into a city. And we bless the angel of the city when we come into a congregation. We bless the angel of the congregation. We bless you. Yeah. Wow. All of them. Yeah. You like it? Yeah. Okay, good. So the way you look at things. So when you look at Jesus, when you come behind the veil, when you learn to live behind the veil, I'm learning, okay? I'm really honest. I'm learning. Yeah, you guys are learning that as well? Yeah. Okay. So what you focus upon will multiply. What you look at. When you look at Jesus, when the Bible says in Hebrew, but we see Jesus, you know? Let me just give a scripture here as a reference. It's Hebrews 2. I love the book of Hebrews. It's one of my favorite. Hebrews 2, verse 9. And it starts in 8. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him. He left nothing that is not put under him. But now we do not yet see all things put under him. But yet now we don't see that. Yeah, your circumstances, they're perfect, right? All the time? I don't think so. Yeah? I don't think so. So sometimes your circumstances, you can be in a season of drought. You can be in a season of tears. You can be in a season of grieving. You can be in a season of spiritual warfare where things are cut off. You can be in a season of loss. Yeah? But, it says in verse 9, but we see Jesus. And for me, this is like a lifesaver. Because it's in a word. The word says, but I can see Jesus. We have the ability to see Jesus. The Bible promises it. In what kind of circumstance you are at. Yeah, wherever you are. Okay? So what I'm learning, what I want to learn, and what I pray for this week, as we just dangle along together, when I try to teach a little bit and share my heart, is that we start to see Jesus. I pray that as you listen to me, that you become hungry to see that reality happen in your life. Because Germany needs to see Jesus. Germany needs to see what he is really like. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor. So the but, we see Jesus, we see him crowned with glory and honor. So we don't see, you know, this little sweet shepherd Jesus. No, we see Jesus crowned with glory and honor. And it says that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. We see Jesus. And so for me, what I want to teach the body of Christ, I mean, you don't have to be a seer to see Jesus, okay? You don't have to have a special anointing or an unction in your life to see Jesus. I really believe that however how you see Jesus, that is what the Holy Spirit wants to do in you. But you have the ability. You know, Vitsa, you saw Jesus when you came to the Lord. Yeah. That night when I gave my heart to Jesus, I saw Jesus as I see him every day. When I close my eyes, when I pray, I see Jesus. Did you see him in the flesh? No, I didn't see him in the flesh. But my spirit was responding. It was not my reasoning that was responding, because my brains cannot handle the fact that I can see Jesus. So if you think like, well, you know, but we see Jesus. So my physical eyes and my brains somehow are, no, it's your spirit man. It's in the kingdom. It's in heaven. You know, what I found in the Netherlands is that, you know what the biggest secret is? That, you know, the door is open. You can actually go in and up and have a home. That's what Jesus promised. Yeah, I will go to the Father. Yeah. And when I finished it, I will take you here where I am. So where's Jesus right now? Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. So my Father's house has many mansions, he says in John. And so God is teaching me that I am home. God wants us to come home. That's the reality of the kingdom. The reality of the kingdom is that I live in heaven. Yeah. So, but again, we see that the realities of the earth can really just pull on you, and they can pull on you, and they can pull on you. And God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, he wants to give revelation about those places, the heavenly places. When the Bible says in Ephesians 1, I'm seated in heavenly places, that reality should shift the way we think. It should shift the way we perceive anything we do. You want to have a coffee break or something? When do you want to have the Right. Okay. So you want to have a break now? Yeah. Yeah, I think I'm thirsty. Yeah. Yeah. So Father, we just right now, we declare, Lord, that we are seated in heavenly places. And Father, we ask right now, Lord, that this reality should shift us. In the name of Jesus. Lord, my house is in heaven. I am in Jesus, and Jesus, you are in me. And Father, I pray that reality, Lord, will hit this place, the coming hours, the coming days. Lord, that you would just bring us from one place into another place. In the name of Jesus Christ. Father, when we want to embrace the prophetic lifestyle, Lord, that we understand that the prophetic lifestyle starts in heaven. It starts with knowing who you are and knowing who we are and where we are. Father, we need revelation. And so I speak this spirit of revelation and the spirit of wisdom over this house. And I sense God says, the heavens are open. The heavens are open, but what you look at will multiply. So when you look at spiritual warfare, when you look at the darkness, that multiplies. But when you look at my face, when you look in the fires of the Holy One, that will multiply. So Father, I declare today, Lord, that you are the Holy One, and we look at you. We can see you. And Father, I just lay my hands on my own head, Lord, that says, in the name of Jesus, I can see you. You gave me the ability in my spirit, man, to behold and see you, to behold your beauty. And Father, I ask right now, Lord, for the assignments of the angels, for the assignments of the angels. Father, for new manna for the angels right now. Father, I ask, Lord, that all the angels that are standing in this place, they would come on the right-hand side in the name of Jesus. On the right arm side, in the name of Jesus. Shanda Roboko Siki Ramosendedidi. Father, the assignments, Lord, the scrolls of heaven. So, Father, right now, Lord, I step into heavenly places. I come before your throne and I ask for the book, the scrolls of this house of kingdom impact. Lord, let your angels open up the books right now. And Father, we want to line ourselves up according to those books. Also, our own book of destiny, Lord. Father, the ability to see the glory and the honor and the beauty of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And Father, we just pray, Lord. Father, release musicians in this place. Bring musicians, Lord. Bring musicians, God. Bring the sounds of heaven. Everything is ready, Lord. Everything is ready. In the name of Jesus. Father, we pray musicians from the north, musicians from the south, musicians from the west, musicians from the east, in the name of Jesus.
Well, thanks for listening to Wietse. I hope you have some energy left to listen to me. Wietse is a very intense storyteller. Isn't he? I think. Right? Yeah, it is. He tells a lot and he tells it intense. Well, I'm a totally different personality. And my journey with the Lord also is quite different. And I just want to share and start with my upbringing. I was raised in a Christian family, and I went to church every Sunday. And I think there was somehow a deep knowledge inside of me that God exists, you know. But there are a lot of people that think that God exists, and that doesn't really change your life. So while Wietse was having this experience in the kitchen floor, I didn't know Wietse at that time, but I went to a conference center, and I saw in that conference center, the Bron, where I worked, I saw a lot of denominations, and for me that was like, you know, I was coming from a small village, only used to my church, and then coming into a totally different world where they had the charismatic, the Pentecostals, the Baptists, the whatevers, the full gospel, the little bit lesser full gospel, and all the things. But it was, for me, it was like shocking to see how people could experience faith in a totally different way and kind of use the same language. And but I also learned a lot of new things because I barely knew anything about the Holy Spirit. And so during that time that I first did an internship there to learn some things for school, and then later on I worked there, I realized that some people were talking about Jesus and God and Holy Spirit like they really knew him. And I was like, why don't I know him like that? So that for me was the starting point of, yeah, getting to know Jesus in a totally different way. I was starting to pray with a colleague. And during that time, we had the ability as staff to join a lot of conferences. And I was just sneaking in, sitting at the back and just listening to a lot of preachers. And there were so many things going on that really touched my heart that I had no understanding of. But there was during one conference that this lady who also did a lot of with fasting and praying, and she did an altar call, and I just really felt I should go there. And I just really felt like butterflies were flying through my stomach, and I didn't know what was happening. So I told it later to you, because then you were there also working. There was, our paths crossed again. That's a different story. That's a bonfire story. And I said, I just really feel that Jesus is drawing me. So for me, that was the point that I just really said to Jesus, I want to follow you. And yeah, so I did. I changed. I prayed. I read the Bible more. And in a different way, it started to speak more to me. And after some time, I think, we got married. And I always felt like from the beginning of our marriage, we felt to open up our house to have a time of prayer. And for us, it always has been the Monday evening. I don't know why. But on Monday evening, our house would be open for people to come in, and we would pray and just worship, and things would happen. And I think being a couple who, I mean, you guys have this training center, but we actually didn't have anything. We came from a church background where the prophetic was not even mentioned. I mean, so it is actually you have to find out everything yourself and kind of on your own. And some people spoke into our lives, and that was good. But still, how to walk your daily life, it was really like a challenge. And traveling with the Holy Spirit and just walking with him. And so having done that all, and we moved, as Wietse said, to the village where you were born. And we had amazing times and experiences with the Lord, and that was really good. But I still felt like, I don't know if you recognize it, but for me it was like Wietse had a really strong testimony. When I came to faith, it was that and that day, that and that time, and then I really gave my life to the Lord, and it was a real changer. Like, and I never felt like that I really had that. So for me it was like a struggle. It was like, it felt like I always was saying, I'm changing, I'm changing, I'm in the process of changing. And of course, we are in the process of changing, but I never felt being really born in the Spirit. And that sounds really weird when you become a Christian at some point and then walk for years and then still struggling with that thing. And I think it had to do with really the root of living from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And I shared a little bit with that this morning. It is like when you feel that you didn't really sin in your life. I mean, I was always the good girl. And so I struggled with my identity in that way, that I was trying to live a good life. And avoiding the evil, but doing the good. But if you still live actually from that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the effect is still that the fruit of that tree is death, whether you do good or evil. But that was such an eye-opener. And in the process that we had a really tough time, we did the fast, and God was really, you know, tearing down veils and masks and things that we thought were good that were not good, or things that were good but not his intention, and flaws in character, and it was a lot. I really felt that during this 40 days of prayer and fasting, that I received really a spanking of the Lord, and just get everything that I had pulled up, that he was taking that down, and that really felt vulnerable. So in that process, we went on a small holiday together, and we kind of settled things, and we worked out things, and it felt good, and we could go on, but the question was, how do we go on? And for me, I was struggling with that question. Lord, you dealt with us, you gave us a new perspective, you showed us a lot of things, you brought healing. Well, we didn't divorce, and we stayed together. So, you know, a lot of things fell into place, which was really good. But I still had this question, like, but how do I go on now? Because I knew I couldn't go on in the same ways. Something had to shift radically. And while we were on the holiday, we had a walk on the beach, and it was January. It was cold, but hey, we were out there, and Wietse was walking in front of me, and I was walking behind him, and I was screaming, God, you need to do something, because I don't know how. And Wietse was screaming, God, you need to do something in Agate, because I can't help her. So it was really a hard cry. It was really a hard cry. And after that, I mean, we didn't really talk about it, but we came back in the hotel, and for some reason, Wietse just put on a teaching, and it explained, maybe in 5 minutes, what Jesus had done on the cross. Well, this was in 2012. That is 7 years ago. So I was 42, just to make a point. After all those years, I finally was getting a revelation of what Jesus had really done. You know, it's almost like reliving what my mom had relived when she became a Christian, when she was in her 50s. The realization what Jesus had done on the cross for me. And I got a revelation as, you know, we have often a cross like this. But I saw Jesus standing like this. And while I was listening to this teaching, I just had a vision. It was almost like an open vision. And Jesus says, you know, no wooden cross could have saved you, but it's me. And I was reminded of the words in John that Jesus says, but I am the door. And Jesus invited me, why don't you step into me? And so I was standing like this, and I took a step And I just stepped into Jesus. And it was so special because right then, I stepped into a world that I've never been before. I'd never been there before. And for the first time in my life, I just really felt that I was born in the Spirit. And I can say now it was the 24th of January, around 5 o'clock. But that changed my life because it changed my perspective of who I was in the kingdom, but also who God was in me and what place he had for me. And that I was not bound on earth, but there were places in heaven that God wanted to show me and Vitsa together that we could walk there and just have a different walk. So that we would not start walking in the same things again, but actually move from here to there, and in the same time being here, but just seeing a total different walk. And that was amazing. And from that time, afterwards, we went for a swim, and it felt like a new baptism. So born in the Spirit and born from water, and that really impacted me deep. And I just really think, you know, with the prophetic in our lives, it has really been a roller coaster. Because if you're not trained, then things come to you and you have to find out yourself how you should respond or how you should react. Or, you know, Vitsa being very sensitive, me being a little bit more solid, feet on the ground, it could have brought a big, big division between us. But somehow we kind of managed together to bring it down to where we are now. And I think that's very special. And also the question, like, how do you bring the prophetic? Well, we kind of sort of live our lives and we just are. And it's good to think about some deeper things and how to anchor it and how to establish things. And yeah, I think the word has been really deep in our lives. And also from that perspective, we feel very secure to just operate in the prophetic and, yeah, just walk in heavenly places and discover and looking back in the word and find that it's actually there. So it has been, a 49-year trip so far and more coming. And, yeah, I really thank you for having us. So I'm not a long storyteller. It's okay. But I just want to give you this to really think. One thing I want to say is, like, you can read about a lot of things in the Bible, but what is your reality of it? And I think that has been my biggest quest. Like, God, you say this in your word, and I believe it. But believing it doesn't automatically make it a reality for you. And so to find that reality is really stepping in by faith and just asking God to show you. I was desperate. I wanted to know and I wanted to see it. And God gave me that vision and he opened up a whole new realm. And we love to share about that. And we love to walk in that. So, yeah.
I feel really, really deeply touched. I believe we can't compare our lives and say, okay, we can do all the time, you know, the same thing what God did maybe to Ahed, because it took a long journey sometimes to come to that place. Suddenly the Spirit, you know, helps us because there was this heart cry. But nevertheless, I really do feel if you heard that and if we heard that, that God gives an anointing to step into Jesus. Because it's real, it's all the time there, it's available, all the thousands of years. He died, and I was preaching actually a few weeks ago about the cross, and it's not about the wood can't save you, but it's him, it was him. And whoever wants to do that, maybe in a prophetic sign, like you said, it's just by faith, it was so simple. So you could stand up and take a time maybe and move around in this place, and if you're at home, you can just stand and just recognize this Jesus and say, in the name of Jesus, or im Namen Jesus, ich gehe jetzt dort rein, I step into you, Jesus, and his spirit realm, heaven and earth, which is placed into him in all his wisdom, that we by faith really enter that. That's prophetic. It's a prophetic act, but it's actually realizing whatever stands in the word, we can enter in, we can step into it by faith. So, yeah, please, would you just release a sound, and I would like us to have maybe 10 minutes or just to have a time just to stand while God, Rita is playing, and that we just enter this Jesus, not just angels, not just heaven, but really now heaven is Jesus, this place. And I thank you so much for the power of testimonies, Lord. And even this release now in Germany, I say this is what we need. This is what the German church needs. Herr, das ist das, was wir brauchen als deutsche Kirche, als deutsche Gemeinde. Ich setze das frei im Namen Jesus. Jesus, Sohn Gottes, gestorben, wirklich gekommen zur Erde, gestorben, begraben und auferstanden und aufgefahren in den Himmel. Danke, danke, dass du gekommen bist. Thank you for just coming, coming to our lives and coming to us, Lord. And thank you. But I had experienced that it's available right now because it's the power of the gospel. It's the power of your word. It's the power of you, Jesus. Whoa.
As we wait on you, Jesus, your King.